Hello again. In this lesson, we're going to get to the heart of creating data-driven dynamic websites by demonstrating how to add a SQL Server 2005 Express Edition database to our website project. And then we're going to demonstrate how to retrieve data from a database in order to display it to the end user's web browser using some new controls that are featured in ASP.NET 2.0. In fact, ASP.NET 2.0 and ADO.NET 2.0 combine to feature a new lightweight model for data access when compared to previous versions. Now, the star of the show is the new SQL Data Source object, which encapsulates all the functionality from connecting to a database to managing the various select, insert, update, and delete commands to delivering that data to the controls themselves. And additionally, a new set of intelligent server controls designed for data binding have been added, which make the display, the manipulation, the adding, updating, deleting of data extremely easy. In fact, we're going to take two lessons, this lesson and the next, lesson 8, to look through all the great new functionality that's contained in here. Two things really impressed me as I started working with these upgraded tools. The first is how easy it would be for somebody who is just getting started, just like you, to harness this and start building data-driven websites very quickly. Because a lot of the complexity of previous versions of ASP.NET and ADO.NET have been boiled down to their bare essence, making the options that you would choose 99% of the time readily available and easy to get to. And the second thing that impressed me was that I liked the fact that almost everything could be done without writing any code. Rather, you would use the Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition tools in order to achieve a high degree of productivity while still getting access to the underlying settings in the source view, in the code view of the .aspx file, so that you can tinker around with all that to your heart's desire. Okay, but first of all, what is data binding? Well, data binding is a feature of your user interface controls that allow them to retrieve information from a data source, like a database, and display that information to the end user. Now, each control might work a little bit differently here. Some controls display the data in a tabular or grid-like fashion, while others display the data in a more details-oriented manner. And we'll talk about this in just a moment. Now, it's important to note that the controls that we've been using up until now, like the text box and the label control, and also the value property of the drop-down list box and the list box, can't be data-bound. Now, in the case of the last two that I mentioned, the drop-down list box and the list box, you can retrieve the list of possible values that are displayed in their respective list areas. Those can be data-bound, but the actual selected value of those two list-based controls can't be data-bound. But instead, we're going to be featuring controls like the grid view, the data list, the details view, the form view. Each of these controls were built specifically to provide different views and functionality for your web applications so that you can data bind and achieve a high degree of interactivity with your web applications without having to bind each individual text box or each individual label. And I'll show you how that works in just a moment. Okay, so let's start by creating a new SQL Server 2005 Express Edition database in our project. The Express Edition of SQL Server 2005 allows us to create a small, portable file that contains all of the data that we might need to save for our application. Now, it'll work perfectly for websites that run on a single web server, and it'll handle a low to moderate amount of web traffic. Now, later in your career, you might work for a very popular company that has a server farm with dozens and dozens of web servers that handle millions of requests from website visitors. Now, in those cases, your company would probably use a more heavy-duty version of SQL Server 2005. So just keep in mind that this tool will serve the needs of most personal and small business websites. I also trust that you have some knowledge of databases, like what does the word relational database mean? And you should already know the basic definition of the term table, column, field, and so on. Now, if these terms are new to you or you need a refresher course, please review the series of videos for Visual Basic 2005 Express Edition, which is also available somewhere on MSDN or at www.learnvisualstudio.net. So in those 100 level videos, those beginner videos, I explain and I demonstrate the basics of databases and working with the SQL Server 2005 Express Edition tools that are integrated into all the Express Edition tools, including Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. I've already taken the liberty of creating a new project or new website called Lesson 07. I've done nothing to it up to this point. The first thing that I do want it to do is select in the Solution Explorer, then click Add Item, and I'm going to select SQL Database, and just for the purpose of demonstration in Lesson 7, what I want to do is I wanted to create a customer's database, and we're going to create a little fictitious web form that allows our salespeople out in the field to enter information about their customers. So I picked this because we're all pretty much familiar with, you know, the type of information we would need to collect, right? First name and last name, what company does the person work for, maybe what the credit limit of this customer is, and how long they've been a customer, things like that, okay? So I created a new customers.mdf, and I'm going to click the Add button. And notice that we get this little message box that says that basically you should place this database file that you're creating inside an app data folder. Would you like to do that? And we're going to click yes. And we're going to talk about some of the special folders that ASP.NET 2.0 recognizes in one of the upcoming lessons. I believe it's lesson number 10. So I don't want to explain too much about the special relationship between these folders and what they do within ASP.NET 2.0 for right now, but just note that there's some neat things going on behind the scenes here. Now notice whenever I created the database that it actually put it into our app data folder here, and then it opened up the Database Explorer for us in order to look at the various data objects that are within our database. Now at this point there are no tables in our database, and since that's the basic building block, what I'm going to do is I want to add a new table. So I'm going to right click tables and select add new table, and this will give us our table designer here in the main area. And so again, I'm assuming that you're somewhat familiar with this, so I'm going to go through it at a fairly quick pace. And if this doesn't make sense to you, again, I would encourage you to take a look at some of the lessons that already exist that go into this in great depth. So we're going to create a customer ID, first name, just do varchar 50, last name, varchar 50. We are going to have a customer since. So how long have they been a customer? We'll use a small date time. And then finally, we'll do a credit limit of type small money so that we can capture a dollar amount. Okay. I want to adjust this column's properties to turn on the identity. We're going to make that yes. And we're also going to make this field the primary key for this table. Okay. Then we're going to call this customer. So the file name is customers.mdf. And this table's name is going to be customer. So just be aware of the kind of the naming irregularity that I chose here. Okay, but now we have a customer table. And now I'm going to go to my default.aspx in the design view because I want to start working with the data that's in the table, which reminds me, I actually need to back up one quick step, and I need to put some data in here so we have something to display on the web page. So going back to the Database Explorer, I want to right-click on my new customer table, and I'm going to select Show Table Data. Now, by default, obviously, there's no data in the table since we just created it. So I'll put some fictitious information in here. Whoops. Bob Tabor, customer since 2/1/2003, credit limit 10,000. Okay. And we'll go something like Steve Jaworski. We'll do 2/25/2004, and we'll give him a $5,000 credit limit. We'll do Brian Faley, and we'll do 7/3/2004. We'll give him a $2,500 credit limit. And then we'll go Chuck Ravetto. Whoops. And we'll do here, like, you know, 8/1/2004, and we'll also give him, like, I don't know, $3,500 credit limit. Okay, so now we have some sample data in our table. You can type in any value that you want to if you're following along. Now what we want to do is add a data source to our web form. So I'm going to select in the toolbox, make sure I'm in the data area so I can see all of the tools that are in the data category. I'm going to drag and drop a SQL data source. And we're just going to ignore this error for right now, and I'm going to click on Configure Data Source. It's going to ask, what data connection should your application use to connect to the database? I'm going to select the only database file that is associated with my current website project. And this will allow me to view the connection string to that. And a connection string is simply a string of data or information that instructs ADO.NET on how to reference and access this particular database, what type it is, the security settings, and so forth. So I'm going to click the next button. Do you want to save the connection in the application configuration file? So I will revisit this in just a moment, but this will put that connection file, which again tells ADO.NET 2.0 where to look for our database in the data directory /customersMDF file. And we can make this dynamic so that we can change this pretty easily through an XML file. You recall the web.config file from the previous lesson? Well, it will save that data in there. So we're going to go ahead and accept that and click Next, because that's a good way to go about it. It then asks us to configure the select statement, and a select statement is basically the retrieval of data from our database. In this particular case, we're going to make a very simple select statement. We're going to select all of the columns, or we could select just individual columns if we wish to at this time. We can also filter the result set that's returned from our select statement by adding a where clause to our SQL statement, or to order the rows that are returned. We could order based on credit limit or customer since. And I'm not going to do that in this example because I want to leave it fairly straightforward, fairly easy. In other videos on www.learnvisualstudio.net, we'll talk about some of the more advanced settings that are listed here and go into that in quite a bit of depth. So let's just go ahead and click Next for now. We can test our query to see what rows of information will be retrieved. Looks great, and then I'm going to click the Finish button here. And after a moment or two, our new SQL data source will be properly configured. I'm going to go ahead and just close that Quick Tasks menu item, and then I'm going to drag and drop a grid view onto my designer surface. And a grid view is just a very easy way to display the data that's retrieved from a SQL data source. So I'm going to look at the quick tasks for our grid view. It allows me to select a data source. We can create a new data source from here, or we can select an existing one, SQL Data Source 1, which we have. And notice whenever I select that it automatically updates behind the scenes. Here, let me close the quick task window. It retrieves the field names and the data types and makes them available in kind of a preview mode. So you can see here is just string data. It doesn't actually retrieve data from the database. It just uses the data definitions in order to populate a preview of what this table or this grid will actually look like. So now that is all we had to do, and I'm going to hit the Start Debugging button on our toolbar. It's going to ask me if I want to enable debugging. Absolutely. And let's see what we get. See how tremendously easy it was to retrieve data from a database and display it on a web form. It was almost too easy. Now, what we can do is, and what we will do over the course of the next few moments and the next lesson as well, is talk about some more advanced scenarios. So let's go ahead and do that right now. So the grid view works great if we want to display the data from our database in a tabular format, but what if we want to have a more details-oriented view? What I'm going to do now is add another page to my website. We'll just leave it default too. That will be just fine. I'll click the Add button. Go to the design view for default2.aspx. And this time what I want to do is drag a details view over to the designer surface. I'm going to move it into place here, and then I'm going to click my little quick tasks menu and select a data source. Now notice that there is no data source available, so I'm going to click new data source. And this is just a little bit of a shortcut, so I didn't have to drag and drop and configure a SQL data source independently of this step. So we're going to go through the same process here of selecting a database as our type of data that we're going to select from. We could rename our ID for our data source if we wish to. It's going to ask what connection should your application connect to in the database. Notice that we already have this connection string, and this connection string is being pulled from our web.config file. The previous time when we set up a connection to this specific, our customers.mdf database, it was saved into a connection string property saved in our web.config. We're just merely pulling that back out and reusing it. Again, I need to specify what I'm going to be pulling from the database. Again, I'm just going to select all columns by clicking the little check mark next to the asterisk and then click the next button. We can test our query to see if we are indeed pulling back all of the columns and all the rows from our customer table. And it looks like we are, so I'm going to click the finish button. Okay, and let me resize this by using the little handle on the right-hand side. And I'm going to go back to the Quick Tasks menu and select Auto Format. And you can see here that I can select some from pre-configured color combinations to make my little table, my little data area, a little bit more attractive. And there's quite a few to choose from. I'll just pick this professional look and then click OK. And then also, notice that there's some other things that I can do here, like edit fields. I can add and remove fields from this list. I can also enable paging. And by enabling paging, I'm adding a little paging navigation bar at the bottom that allows the user to navigate from one page of data to the next page of data. Each page of data is equivalent to a row in the database. Okay, so let's go ahead and close that, save what we've done, and then click the Start button. Whoops, let's go ahead and do this too. Let's right-click default2.aspx and set this as our start page. And now we will start debugging. And you can see, again, I have quite a bit of functionality enabled here without having to do a lot of work. I just was able to drag and drop, write zero code in order to display the data from the database here on my web form. And I can navigate between the rows that are in my customers table by merely clicking the little links in this navigation bar, the paging bar near the bottom. Okay, very cool. Now keep in mind that I'm just showing you the base functionality here, that I'm not really showing you how to tweak any of the information inside here. You might have a need for some more complex logic where you're enabling the selection of certain customers based on some other criteria. Those are the kinds of things that we're not going to cover in this series of lessons. This again is just geared towards getting you up and running very quickly, and we can rely on other videos or articles or books to fill in some of the details on how to get a little bit more complex and take more control over what you've done here. But I want to show you the source view, because even though we are not writing any code, there is code, source code, that's written in the form of tags in our HTML. So notice here that we have one of our server control tags, ASP colon details view, and that there's a lot of settings that are associated. It looks at ID property, run at server, allow paging equals true. Okay, it sets the data source in here, the four color, the grid lines, none, height equals 50, and just on and on. And then even within that control, the beginning tag for that control, and the ending tag for that control, way down here, there's a bunch of other tags that define things like the style and also the fields of data that are being pulled back. Notice that in this field section that we have several ASP bound field server controls. Okay, and each one of these bound fields point to a data field from the database. So that's how it knows how to bind to certain fields. Now you can go in here and change anything you want. For example, if I want to remove my customer since field, all I need to do is just select this entire line, click the delete key on my keyboard, and now the next time that I run this, you'll notice that that field of information has been removed. So it's fully customizable. We can change anything we want to from the source view, but there is no code behind. So you see here we have our script run at server script. We have no Visual Basic code that we've written in order to enable this functionality. Again, this is what I'm talking about at the beginning of this lesson when I said that the ASP.NET 2.0 server controls for data binding are very intelligent. They're very full-featured, very functional without having to write any server-side code. Okay, finally, let's extend this example so that we're using both the grid view and the details view on the same web form so we can enable a little master detail type situation where you select one of the rows in the grid view and it will show the details of that row in the detail view. Now in the past, and you can see this from some of the videos that I wrote on the web or created on the website, this was a little bit more intense. It required quite a bit of code, required the use of a number of different controls for each of the fields that are retrieved from the database. However, in ASP.NET 2.0, this is made extremely simple. So let's do this. Let us add another item, another web form to our project. We'll just leave it the default name, default3.aspx, and then we'll click the Add button. And then let's go to the design view. And let us first drag a grid view into place. Put this near the left-hand side. Let's close a little window here and move that here. And then we'll put a details view, and we will put that over here more to the right-hand side. Okay, that should work. Let's move this over a little bit more. Okay, so now let's configure this, our grid view, and we're going to select a new data source. Again, we're going to go through the same exercise of selecting a database, selecting the connection string from the web.config file. We can see it here. We're going to select all columns, click Next. We can test it if we want to. If not, that's okay, probably works. And click the Finish button. Okay. So now I got a little bit of a problem here. So let's move things around. I'll put this below it. That should work just fine because we only have four rows. But you might need to be conscientious of this if you were using this in a real application. Okay. So now let's configure our details view. And I'm going to select the existing data source. And I can turn on some of these other options, but I am going to enable paging off. That will kind of defeat the purpose of what I'm trying to accomplish here. I'm going to respace this out a little bit. Okay. So what we want to try to accomplish here is by clicking on one of the rows on the top, we'll need to be able to display that given row, all the details of that row here in the bottom. So I need to do a lot more configuration up here. For example, one of the things that I need to do is select Enable Selection, and this is going to create a new link over here on in the leftmost column called Select. And we could change this to like a little icon of some sort, or if in a more advanced scenario, we can just use the first name and the last name and put a hyperlink underneath those that would suffice as the selection. But for right now, we're going to use the most simple case here and just add a selection column, okay? And then I think that would probably do it, although we probably should remove some columns. So let's do this. Let's remove like the customer ID by, let me show you how I did that again, I'm sorry. Here, let's go to Edit Columns link on the Grid View Quick Tasks menu. And we see down here are our fields that we currently have, and here are the available fields up top.
And we can insert, you can see here, a checkbox field, hyperlink field, image, button, command, and a template, and so on. Here are our bound fields. We currently have all of those available right now. So let's just do this. Let's take, let's get rid of the customer since field. So I'm going to click the little X button. Let's get rid of the credit limit field and get rid of the customer ID field. So now we'll just have first and last name and then a select, okay? And then for the details, all the details will be displayed at the bottom. So first and last name and the customer since credit and customer ID fields. Okay, now one thing we need to do is write some code specifically that will sync these two up so that whenever I select an item in my grid view, that the details view will reflect that change. So to do that, I'm going to select my grid view, go over here, go to my events view of my properties, and I'm going to find the selected index changed, and I'm going to just double click inside there, and that will bring up a grid view 1 selected index changed event handler. So here I'm going to type something like this. Let's go details view 1 dot page index equals grid view 1 dot selected index. Whoops, selected index. Okay. Now why did I use the page index on the details view? Because the details view works in terms of pages, so each row represents a page, whereas the grid view works in terms of rows, so you have a selected index. Just a difference in terminology to reflect the different type of functions that they're really performing internally. So that should be all that we need to do now. Let's right-click default 3 and set a start page, and then run our application, see what happens. Cross our fingers here. Okay, so now you can see that, and I'll expand this out a little bit, that Bob Tabor is selected by default. I'm going to select Brian Faley, and notice whenever I click the little link next to Brian Faley, all of his details appear down at the bottom. Same with Chuck Ribetto, Steve, and so on. So we were able to enable a master details view with one line of code and with just a little bit of configuration, where that might have taken multiple lines of code in the past, a lot of setup, in order to achieve basically the same thing. So that's very impressive. And it's going to allow you, since you're just getting started, to write much more powerful applications much more intuitively without having to write just a ton of code. So you're going to impress a lot of people here by just bringing these kinds of things out and into your organization and showing them the kinds of things that you can do, or to your friends, or whatever the case might be. Okay, so up to this point, all we've shown you are two controls, the grid view and the details view. And did you notice that the only thing we did with these was display values? We didn't allow any inline editing, any updating, adding, deleting of any of the values here. If you just need to display values, you'll want to use the grid view and the details view. However, if you need to do some inline editing of values, you can still use the grid view, but we're going to need to set some additional options. And if you want to be able to use something like the details view, but allow the users to change the values from that perspective instead, you'll have to use a form view, which is a whole different control. And we'll talk about both of these topics in the next lesson, in lesson number 8. So hopefully you're able to follow along, that a lot of these things made sense. If you didn't understand some of the database concepts, once again, I urge you to take a look at some of the other material that I've created for MSDN, for the Visual Basic team or the C# team, that will describe how to use the integrated SQL Server 2005 Express Edition tools into the Visual IDE in order to create databases. It also explains what relational databases, tables, rows, all those things are. So please take a look at that resource, or there's a number of other places online where you can find similar information. But you need to research that, because this is some of the most powerful stuff that you can do with this tool. It's really the difference between writing a .aspx page and just a regular old .html page.
So I hope you enjoyed this video. Please visit www.learnvisualstudio.net to download and watch over 400 videos just like this one, aimed at all skill levels on many different topics related to C#, Visual Basic, ASP.NET, and more. Thank you.